Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Oh, it's good to be here, isn't it? I'm going to talk to you today. I'm going to get started today, I think. Hope I get started on this thing called negativity. And how it is probably one of the biggest hindrances to our growth and our expansion in our walk with God. Because it does hold us back. It robs us of a lot of different things that we could have. How many of you know that his gift of love is given to you unconditionally? His gift of forgiveness is given to you unconditionally. Once you say, I want that applied to my life, you appropriate that, so it's given to you unconditionally. Is that true? You know, but your maturity is not unconditional. Your maturity is going to cost you. Your growing up is going to cost you. Your growing up into the man and woman of God that you're supposed to be or called to be is going to cost you. Your study, your time, it's going to cost you. It's not. Oh, I'm just going to automatically wake up one day and be mature. And you know that doesn't work. Doesn't work. So we need to understand that this thing of negativity. But a lot of times we don't know what being negative really is. So when we start into this message and we start laying out the things that I really believe the Lord wants you to hear, me to hear, and you to hear, and to grab hold of. Is that just because you see something wrong doesn't mean you have to be negative. But you can see something wrong and be negative. So when this message begins to unfold and unroll out here, that you need to hear this thing about, well, does that mean if I see something wrong, I can't say anything about it? No, that's not what that means. It means you don't need to be negative about it. Everybody say amen. Amen. Because this will revolutionize your life. It will revolutionize this church, this house, this county. If we just grab hold of what it is about being negative and about overcoming negativity, and how do we do that? How do we get here? And what do we do about that? You know, because we have a inner disciplines and fruit of the Lord, of the Spirit of God, that needs to be coming out. We talked about that the other week, the love, joy, peace, patience. You know, how many of you know that? Let me just insert this real quick. How many know that patience is not just waiting? Everybody can wait. Patience is having a good attitude while you wait. What are you doing? Waiting? What does that mean? It means I'm not patient because my attitude is not right, but I'm waiting. You know, patience is waiting with a good attitude, not being negative. Are y'all ready for this message? Do you want to hear that? Listen, I had a couple to tell me. Well, the husband said, me and my wife were talking the other day and said, we only have 1 week left to be negative. So let's get at it. Let's get it all out. You know? Well, he didn't say that part, but he did say we only have 1 week left to get be negative. I want you to go to Romans chapter 8, and I want you to go to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Do you know that you're invited to live a life that is abundantly given to you? That's the invitation. To give to you, but that invitation given to you and I demands a change of mindset. Everybody say mindset. That invitation of living the abundant life demands a change in mindsets. If you do not, it's like a flat tire, right? If you don't change it, you're not going anywhere. So your attitude is sort of the same way. If you don't change it, you're not going anywhere. So we have to accept the promises. By the way, do you know that we're a people? We're not supposed to be a people of negativity. We're a people of promise. We're a people of hope. Amen? People of hope. How many, you know, I asked this question the other week. You know, how many of you have been around negative people? Look at me. I've been a few of it. Who has not been around? Who has not been around negative people? I'll introduce you to some people. You will too, says Lisa. All of it. How many of you have been the negative? How many of you have been the negative person before? Yeah. See, it never helped anything. It never helped the crossover of getting to where we need to be. So, in the process, let's see. I'm looking for a clicker. How many of you call your remote control at home a clicker? Wave at me. All right. So I say, Brenda, where's the clicker? Do you mean the remote control? Yes, ma'am. All right. Are we ready to go? Negativity. I want to look at something right here. Negativity is a tendency to be disagreeable. Disagreeable and skeptical. It's a pessimistic attitude that always expects the worst. Oh, it's not going to work. This message is going nowhere. I already know this. Yep. Negativity is an attitude that always expects such negative things to happen. Well, you know what's going to happen, don't you? Do you hear it? How many of you had some of this? Well, it'll never work out. That's not the way we do that. We've never done it that way before. All the stuff about pushing back, being negative. Always looking for the problem and not the solution. How many of you know that God saw the problem, but he gave the solution? Now, you don't always have to follow the solution, but he saw the problem. Seeing the problem is not negativity. What you do when you see the problem is going to determine if you're going to be negative or if you're going to be a person of critique that has something to see what's wrong but yet has an answer to try to fix it. It's like walking up to a person that has been having alcohol problems all their life and just walk up to them and says, "You're drunk." They already know that. They really do. They already know that. They already know God's problem. But see, just the negativity out just comes out and just say, "Well, you know, this is what you." Well, that's judgmental as well. See, negativity is you being able to see that this person has a problem with alcohol, but also you know the solution and you're there to try to help them. Now, do they have to listen? Talk to me. Do they have to listen? No, I don't have to listen. I don't have to do a thing you say. But you're a bearer of light, not bad news. You don't need to agree with what they are. You need to agree with what God says about them and their future. That's what you need to be in. You and I need to be in agreement. We don't have to be next. So when we're negative, we just begin to push back on the purposes of God. That's the reason you'll never be able to fulfill your destiny, not your destination, as we talked about last week. Your destiny will not be full because negativity will keep you from fulfilling it. Why? Because it's the pushback of God's promises. How do I know that? Did you go to Romans 8? All right. How do we know that? Look at Romans 8, verse 6 says that, you know, The mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. When your mindset is on the Spirit of God, the things of God, you will have life and you'll have peace. That's true. It's what the Bible says. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. The mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. The mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. Is that true? Yes, it's true. So when you and I begin to have this negativity and this negative thing going on, and it's not, and it has no redemptive nature in it, has no redemptive quality in it, to be able to help the person or to sow into the person a positive, a word from God, an alignment of thinking that needs to be given to them so they can hear the truth, that the truth could penetrate who they are and to get inside them and begin to bring hope and a reality of faith and trust in God, and it changed their life. Negativity will not do that. How many of you have ever been negative while you're driving? This crowd didn't raise their hand. You know what? They don't drive. Let me. So what, you've been negative while driving before? Okay, I got a few hands. Okay. They woke up. No, listen. Why? You know. Hey, listen. That's me too. Ask my wife if I've ever been negative while driving. One thing I will not do though is blow the horn. No. You know. So she said, and she'll say, "Blow the horn. Blow the horn. Blow the horn." And I said, "No, I'm tailgating. I'm going to push them down the road." Yeah. Now, we need to have fun. Listen, if we don't laugh during this message, we're going to be all walking out of here crying. Yeah, so we need to be able to have some laughter as we go. It's like somebody said one time, he said, "You know, you have got a unique way of giving us the truth and causing us to laugh right before you knock the props out from under our feet." I said, "Well, I don't want you to fall and cry, you know." So you begin to see that this thing is hostile toward God. Negativity is. He said, "For it does not subject itself to the law of God or to the life of God." It doesn't subject. Negativity will not subject itself to the purposes of God. It won't. Can't. "For it is not even able to do so." "And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Do you know that your negativity will begin to cause hope to be gone? Being negative will not bring you hope, and it won't bring other people hope as well. Because that's part of negativity. You know, it's put down to trash, to belittle, to discredit without hope. All of this talk, all of this negative stuff going on, and yet what you're doing, you're just eliminating hope from this person. And without hope, it is impossible to please God. So, well, I can please God without hope. It's not what the Bible says. He says it's impossible to please God without hope. Negativity, being negative and having this negative mindset. Everything's a problem. I see this, but I don't know. I don't like the way this is. I don't like the way that is. I don't like this. I don't like that. How many of you know there's a lot of I don't likes? Negativity has got to go. It really does. We really need to rid ourselves of negativity. I didn't say you can't see something wrong and do something about it, but you don't have to be negative about it. Are y'all getting this? Okay. It's habitual skepticism and disagreeable tendency. It's lacking the constructiveness, helpfulness, and optimism and cooperativeness. So what does it do? What does it mean? It means that we are looking for the fault and not for the remedy. We're looking for the fault and not the remedy. This thing about being negative, listen, it hits every person under the sound of my voice. It'll hit every one of us. every single one of us. And if we do not catch it, and if we do not have discipline concerning the Word of God and concerning the Spirit of God, we will walk and we will continue to walk in the negative. It's one thing to all of a sudden, I wish I hadn't said that. It's another thing to keep on saying it. Right? So let's look at the downward spiral of negativity. Negativity will bring you to the place of fault finding. Fault finding. I ran across a scripture. Let me see. You know, I bet I have 20 pages of notes. Are y'all ready for all that? Nah. I won't give you all of that. Let me see if I can find this scripture. I hope I can. It's on one of these there pages. Listen to this over in Proverbs. People without good sense. Raise your hand if that's you. All right, I got some that's already feeling it. People without good sense find fault with other people. You ever found fault with other people? Bible says you do not have good sense. I didn't say that. The Word of God said that. And it is the truth. People without good sense find fault with their other people. But those with understanding, how many of you are people of understanding? I've got some prideful people over here. Very prideful. They're unfair. I'm messing with you. The people, he said, people of understanding keep quiet. Ooh. People with understanding, people of understanding keep quiet. There's some things that just doesn't need to be said, even though they're right here. Right? They come right here, and all of a sudden, it's just some things that just does not need to be said. You know when you can do that? It means, number one, the self-control, the fruit of the Spirit of self-control is operating in your body. And not only that, but you have understanding that this I don't need to say that. But, you know, that has to be a training. You don't wake up one morning and automatically conquer that. You have to work hard. You have to apply yourself, right? Be diligent to apply yourself to not be a negative person. Have you heard this one? Just once. I'd just like to go to a church that doesn't challenge me. Without a challenge, you won't change. Without messages like this, you will not change. Hobble along with that flat tire. Hold us back from reaching the destiny that we're supposed to reach. Now, this is not a hard message. It's a message of freedom. It really is. It's a message of freedom. It's one that we can actually take in and say, I see that and I understand that and I need to work on that. That's the reason, but I don't know how to do it. I just don't really know. God's grace knows how. God gives you grace to empower you to be able to do everything that He's asking you to do. But see, we will insult grace, and we will just walk, trample all over the very empowerment of God, saying, "Ah, we can't do that. It's impossible for us to do that." That's not impossible. The mindset has to change. Mindset from being negative to mindset to being positive. Mindset of saying, what does God say about this? You may have heard all your life, you'll never amount to anything. And that was a negative pronouncement, endorsement over your life. You will never amount to anything. Do you know what God says about you? You are beautifully and wonderfully made. And that His purpose for your life is to become like His Son. Now, if that's not possible, He would not have said it. He would have been a liar. And the Bible says that God cannot. It's impossible for God to lie. So there's a lot of negativity that we have received in our life and brought into our life that has brought us to insecure places, and then that causes us to be, because we're insecure, we will start tearing other people down to make us what? Feel better or look better about who I am. That's true. So we have to overcome those things. We have to say, no, this is what I've been taught. This is what I've been, what's been said in my life. This is what's been told that I was. You'll never amount to anything. You're dumber than a rock. I mean, it just goes on and on. Why? Because the negative stuff goes. How many of you know that words are powerful? But we act like they don't. Words have power, but we act like they don't. Have you ever just tore somebody out of the frame? I mean, you just like, whoop, I mean, just let them have it, just like, and then he said, ah, just kidding. I have. It's almost like, look, I'm playing a card here with God, and I'm pulling out the Joker card. He knows I was joking. He didn't say it. It diminishes the power of your word. I'm not saying you can't joke around. I'm not saying it. Listen, I can't. Listen, but this thing about being negative and bringing harm and hurt to somebody, to tear down, to upset, it'll lead you to fault finding. And it will go from fault finding to grumbling. How many of you know about grumbling? That's not a place that you, that's grumbling. Grumbling is not a place. Well, grumbling can be a place that you live. Grumbling and murmuring. That'll lead you to being critical, having a critical spirit, having criticism, then cynicism, which is actually a belief system that if nothing's going to turn out. And then that's going to give you a negative mindset, which you will turn right back around and go through another negative spiral, because it's going to take us through all of these places to get us to that. Why? Because the flesh resists the purposes of God. It is hostile. It is hostile toward God. You know, I'm sort of like, I'm tired of being hostile toward God. It didn't say that God was hostile toward me. It said that I was hostile toward God. How many of you have ever been hostile toward God? Got some honest people here. Hostile toward God. What did that look like? Where are you at? I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. Why am I having to go through this? Why is it that, listen, I got news for you. These past 3 weeks have been testing me. I'm telling you, it's been like, I said, God, let me get this message out. He said, son, you're going to go through this before they ever do. I mean, these past 3 weeks, it's like, just flies in my, it's not, this is not working. This is not working. Do you know I've had a vehicle in the shop for 3 weeks? We don't have but two cars. Bernie said, what, you're going to call them and find out? You're going to call them? And I said, nope, not calling them. Not going to call them. Don't you want to know? I said, nope, don't want to know. All right, I'll get it when it's ready. Call me to come over and get it. I go over and get it and drive it from the place to church, and service engine soon light comes on and says, whoops, I got to go back. I turn around and go back, and they look at it and says, well, we need to do some more work on it. And I said, I'll leave it with you. All my hopes and expectations were I'll get my truck back. Then I have to go take it back and leave it with them. Still hadn't heard from them. I want to say, my inside me saying, what's up with this, God? This is a truck of your most loyal servant. Oh, really? What have I done something? I'm leaving it alone. I'm leaving it alone. She said, when are you going to get it? And I said, when they're done with it. When is that going to be? I don't know. but I'm not going to be negative about it. I could go over and say, listen, y'all jacklegs, y'all know anything about vehicles? What's wrong with it? Tell me, I can figure it out. Well, why didn't you keep it? Flesh wants to do it. Oh, flesh. You know, I heard, who was it? Was it you said something about a mechanic? Who said something? But somebody told me something about a mechanic today. Huh? Tulo. Where is he? Tulo. He told me, he said, you know, you can either take it to a mechanic, but you can take it to a mechanic, but you know what a mechanic is, don't you? I said, no, what's a mechanic? He said, it's a part changer. And I said, you're not really helping my negativity. Or doing away with the negativity. Why? Now, I don't have a problem with calling up. I said, sir, do you know about when? I don't have a problem with doing that. I really don't. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just afraid when I get on the phone, I might explode. Not really. Okay, did you find? Oh, it's almost 12 o'clock. Introduction is not even over. Did you find Numbers? Give me some. Will you give me some more time? Numbers chapter 13. I'm probably not going to read it all. I'll probably just condense it and tell you. Now, I want you to read Numbers chapter 13. In Numbers chapter 11, it says this, that the people complained and murmured in the hearing of the Lord, and it angered him. Murmuring and complaining will not make him happy. He is not pleasing to the Lord. Numbers chapter 13 said, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send out for yourself men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give the sons of Israel. And you send a man from each of the father's tribes, every one a leader among them. Now, I don't have time to read all of this. He sends out the children of Israel. How many of you know that you can be out of bondage of sin? You can be out of bondage. God has forgiven you. You have accepted that sacrifice. He's given it to you, and you said, yes, Jesus. And he's delivered you from the bondage of sin. That's what Egypt was. But how many of you know that they wandered in the wilderness 40 years. Everybody say 40 years. Now, this is important, because as you read this study, I'm going to condense it so we can get out of here at a reasonable time. When you begin to see that the spies, the 12 spies, were gone for 40 days, they were told to bring back fruit. They were told to go look at the land and see how it was and come back and report to the people. And they brought back some fruit, some grapes. And the Bible says that they had to put the grapes on a stick and carry it between two people. How many of you know that is a nice cluster of grapes? So he says, that's a lot of grapes. That's a lot of grapes. But he said, the land that I'm sending you to is flowing with milk and honey. There's vineyards there that you won't have to plant. There's houses that you won't have to build. And he goes on and tells them, this is what I'm going to give you. Do you hear me? This is what I'm going to give you. And then they send out the spies, and all 12 of them go, and they bring back and they say, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. And then 10 of them say, but nevertheless, those people over there are big. They annihilate anybody that interferes with them. They are huge. They look like giants to us, and they sort of make us feel like we're grasshoppers. We cannot go take that land. And the Bible says God called that an evil report. I just gave a few bad news. He said, that's an evil report. Why was it? Because it was pushing back against what God said, I'm going to give you. It was an evil report. Joshua and Caleb, the only two, Caleb stood up and said, hold on just a minute. I went over there too. I was one of them. That land is flowing with milk and honey, just like he said. He said, we need to get up and go take that land. Let's all get up. What was he moving on? What he saw or what he heard God say? What he saw or what he heard God say? What he saw. We're the same way. We can start getting negative toward the purposes of God because we see something too difficult and he says, you can have it. So they give a negative report. They give a bad report. Negativity begins to flood through the congregation. So much, you know what they say? Oh, now here's a good one. Well, it's time for us to get another preacher. Let's get rid of Moses, because he's taking us somewhere we don't want to go. Matter of fact, they actually said with their own mouth, we had rather, it would have been better for us to die in Egypt. Or to die, it'd been better for us to die in the wilderness than for us to go and die by the sword. When you look, all three of them's dead. One's a good death, one's a bad death, and one's a... The reasoning, it doesn't even make sense. Why? Negativity doesn't make sense. Negativity is wanting what it wants and wants to try to convince everybody else that this is what I want. Ever been somebody says they want what they want? Oh. Want what they want? I want what I want. See, the neighbor, I want what I want until it changes. I ain't going to be happy. And everybody's going to know it. You ever been around somebody and babies begin to... And somebody says... Somebody's not happy. So here they are. They're in a dilemma. So the people start moaning, groaning, complaining, and murmuring. Here's this spiral. Fault, finding fault. What did they find fault with? Oh, Mo. We got to get another preacher. We got to get another leader. Why? Because he's leading us to a place that we don't want to go. We're going to die. Well, you're going to die anyway. You may as well die with the goods of God in your hands. You may as well die on top. You may as well go ahead and live your life to the place, and when he gets ready for you to leave, it's time you and I to leave. So God hears all this mumbling, this complaining, this negativity just flowing. Why? Because no, there's things in that land that is bigger than what God said. But it's not true. So 40 days they're over there. God says, you know, it's going to be what you said. You said, we'd rather die in Egypt, or we'd rather die in the wilderness, or we'd rather than die by the sword. And he said, you're going to die in the wilderness. And it's going to be 1 year for every day. 40 years. Don't tell me that mumbling, complaining, and murmuring will not keep you from your destiny. I'm telling you, not destination, but your destiny. It will hinder your walk with God. Caleb and you know, by the way, negativity will impact your children. Because the Bible also says that the people that died started at age 20. Everyone that murmured, everyone that complained, everyone that was negative about the purposes of God, he said, I'm going to start at age 20. Why? How did they learn how? Why, they've been around it. Negativity will breed negativity. It will. From 20 years old up, every one of them died in the wilderness. 40 years. Now here's the surprising part. Do you know the journey from where they were to the promised land? Do you know how many days, you know how long it would have taken them? 11 days. 11 day journey. 11 days and we can be there. Took 40 years. 6 miles a year. In a year, 6 miles. What happened? Why did it take so long? I was just wrestling fast. We don't have any bread. We don't have anything to eat. Miracles fall and they still complain. We don't have any drink. Hit the, speak to the rock. Hit the rock. The rock. Water comes out. They go to Lebanon. We don't have any meat. Here come the quail and it falls everywhere. Then they're complaining. We tired of meat. That's what the Bible talking about. Sound like church folk. Don't like this. Don't like that. Don't like, just negative, 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 negative. God says, I'm not happy with that. And that will hinder you from growing. That will hinder you from being like Jesus. That will hinder you from reaching the fullness of who you truly are that I say you are. You'll be hindered. All of your, you'll be, 40 years, 11-day trip, and it takes them 40 years. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Y'all ready? I mean, you know, that really is the word of God. He tells them, look, you know, you're going to be in this wilderness. It's going to impact everybody. This is where I want you to go. This is what I have for you. No, you know, God don't. God don't. No, no, God. You know, I want to heal you today. Healing ain't for today. You know, I want to get around people that says healing ain't for today. And I said, what are you going to do about this person that just got healed? You going to tell them they're not? Are you with? Look, we get these mindsets. No, God wouldn't do. Why? Because we put God in a box. Right. You remember years ago we did that message on, I think I need a bigger box. The little taco dog, and he's got this box, and he's going to catch this, here, lizard. And he's got this little box with this prop, here, lizard. And all of a sudden, boom, Godzilla shows up, the big thing. And he says, I think I need a bigger box. Our box is too little that we have God in. God is ready to give the abundance of living to every single one of us. But I'm telling you, as long as we stay negative, the flow of that will not happen in our lives, even though we're born again. Even though we're out of sin, even though we're out of Egypt, we'll never reach the fullness of our destiny because we're too busy complaining, murmuring, being fault-finding, finding everything, just finding fault, just... God says, I'm not happy with that. Oh, but God loves me. He'll never stop loving you. I don't care what you do. He'll never stop loving you. It's not about love. It's about him wanting you and I to get to the place that we grow into the fullness of what he has for us. Becoming a people that satisfies the groan of creation to see the mature ones to be manifested. Wouldn't you like for this house to be full of growing, vibrant Christians who have a word from God, who have the word of God inside them, have the Spirit of God being full, being filled, and everywhere you go, you just your cup just runs over on everybody. Even though you face opposition, you face trauma, you face tragedy, you face the threat of death, you face all of this stuff, even though you face, you're still true to who he is inside you. That's the church that we have to become like. That's the people of God, the people of promise, the people of hope, not a people of despair, not a people of negativity. Is it true? So here's what I'm going to ask you to do this week. Are you ready? You're going to detox. Everybody say detox. Detox. We're going to detox negativity. 7 days. 7 days, all this week, because we're gonna finish on this. All this week, we're gonna detox being negative. Cold turkey. Somebody said, we're going to do this cold turkey. If anybody's able to do it cold turkey, I'll let you testify next Sunday. If you can do it cold turkey, but I doubt if we're able to do that cold turkey. And ask the Holy Spirit to remind you, Lord, you begin. You. I'll sit down. Somebody else get up there. Sit down with me. What was it I said? I doubt it. But here's the remedy. Have faith that you can. Now it reduces from being a negative. I love living examples, don't you? Listen, are you ready? You laugh, but it's coming. But you have the strength to endure it. It won't be as easy as you think, but we can do it. Now, y'all quit laughing at me. I got another thing. Are you going to hear another verse? There was a prophet that was bald, and there was two kids that started laughing at him and mocking him. And after they got through mocking him, two she-bears came down and ate him up. That's all I'm going to say about that. Listen, it's out of context. I understand it's out of context. I understand. But listen, I don't mind being your example. I really don't. 7 days. How many are up for the challenge? Stand to your feet. All right. I do not want my phone to be ringing because marital problems are increasing. You should have done like that other family and got it all out last week. Seven days. It's almost like Francis Frenchman called it a war on grumbling. So let's detox. Let's work at getting this out of us. Because it's real easy for us to do it. As you noticed by your pastor, it's real easy for that to happen. So spouses, be gentle. Be gentle when the other one forgets. A gentle reminder would be detox. Detox. Isn't it good? Listen, if this doesn't challenge us, we won't change. And you and I can take this word that we heard. I'm telling you the truth. You can take this word that we heard from the scriptures and we can say, nah. Or we can take it in, learn from it. See, the Bible says a righteous man falls seven times in a day and he what? He gets up. It's not about your failure. Your failure is the attitude that's negative when you fall or somebody else's fall. Everybody say 7 days. 7 days. Detoxing from negativity. Words that count. Does that count today? How about till next Sunday? We're fasting, grumbling, complaining, and if there isn't. Now, don't play around with this. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
You know, really, it's like this. If you're a negative person, you will create the storm and complain because it rains. That's the truth. You created all of this drama and all this stuff, and then you complain when it starts raining on you. And we need to be a people that no matter what happens, no matter what we go through, no matter what we face, no matter what we're hearing, no matter what's pressing against us, that we will first say, wait a second, what does God think about this? Because I know one thing, the Bible says, all things we know, for we know. Everybody say, for we know. For we know. All things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Now, here's the question. Do you love God?
Yes.
Are you called according to his purpose?
Yes.
Then you know that whatever happens is for your good.
Yes.
Including a truck that I haven't seen in 3 weeks. But guess what? It'll be like a new truck when I get it.
Yes.
Amen. Now, tell your spouse 7 days. 7 days. No negativity. Tell your children no negativity. Have to help them through this. Are you ready to do this, church? We'll come back and see. By the way, invite somebody else to come with you. Right? Had somebody tell me, say, well, I invited somebody to come, and they asked me what you was preaching on, and I told them negativity, and they said, I ain't coming. All right, you ready? Grab somebody's hand beside you. Say, we're in this together. And we're going to overcome it together. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you. We thank you. We adore you. We worship you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your challenge. We thank you for the sweetness of your word is like honey that is given to us. Lord, we're going to eat it. We're going to take it in. And Lord, we're going to see this house to be transformed in the likeness of your image, your son's image. And we will make a difference with one another. We'll make a difference in the community. We'll make a difference no matter where we go. We'll make the difference of being positive, of giving life, and our words being life to people and not bringing harm or hurt. So, Father, give us the grace that we need to do that. As we take on this challenge, Lord, let it be something that becomes a life and not just 7 days. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.